studios in Eugene, Oregon, it's Oregon Update with your hosts, Cliff and Robin. You can join Cliff and Robin by dialing 646-721-9887 or by email at talk@krbnradio.com. And now, here's your hosts, Cliff and Robin.
It's a Wednesday afternoon, and welcome to the program. It's Robin.
Across town, and a couple towns, as a matter of fact. Hi, I'm Cliff.
He's Cliff.
We got a problem here. You're cutting out. Are you there?
I'm here, and there's a lot of background noise for some reason.
Huh. Weird. Anyway, go ahead.
Anyways, today, by the way, is
the 12th anniversary.
Yeah, I think we just went live, folks. We just got back.
Boy, you're hardly there. Something's going on.
Welcome to the live interview.
Yeah, really.
But we're trying to figure out what's going on here, and while we're live and things are still. Adjustments, why don't you tell the people how we can.
How we can what?
Get a hold of us.
Ah, get a hold of us. Well, I'd prefer that you call me. 646-721-9. 887. That's an easy number to remember, and it's easier yet if you write it down on your refrigerator. And I have some big, fat magic markers here if you'd like, and some of them in blue. So 646-721-9887 is the telephone number to call, and then you can just give us a call. And I, from what I understand, if you go on, you can hear us, you can listen to us, and then if you push the number 1, you let Robin know that you're there, and she'll put you on the radio.
That's right. You too can be on the radio.
If you want to be. If you don't want to be, that's fine. And you know, how do you get to this place where you can write it in? You know, chat room. You could actually ask questions in the chat room, and from what I understand, Robin watches the chat room and would see you and would ask the question for you, and we could discuss what you want to that way.
Absolutely, and it doesn't always have to be what we're talking about, but you can join us right now by going to blogtalkradio.com/KRBN, and if you don't have an account, that's okay. Unfortunately, you can't contribute, but you can watch what's going on there. If you do have a Blog Talk Radio account, which is free, by the way, then you can join the conversation. And as always, if you happen to be one of the thousands of people who listen to the archives during the week of today's program, you can still join the conversation, although a bit late, teach you from missing the live broadcast, by sending us an email, talk@krbnradio.com. And we got a lot to talk about today, and again, as we said on the onset before we started dealing with a lot of noisy background stuff, today is the 12th anniversary of the attack on the United States, the World Trade Center, and their speeches and memorials going on all over the place. I haven't heard Obama's speech yet. I'm sure he has. And I'm kind of really don't want to. But before we get into all that, what I would like to do right in the onset is I just like to take just a moment of silence, so don't go away, in remembrance of the almost 3,000 people that died 12 years ago today. And
2,983 victims. Are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. I noticed. Oh. I was just noticing that our background noise took a little bit of silence too.
Oh, I turned my microphone off during that because I have the air conditioner running in my room.
That must be what it is.
Yeah. Anyway, it's interesting. 2,983 victims, and every year they read their names, all 2,983 of them. I personally kind of get a little tired of that. I don't listen to it anyway, so it's no big thing. And the people, I understand the people who lost someone and lost their dad or lost their mom or lost someone close to them. I understand why they want to continue doing it, but there's got to be an end to it. I figured after 10 years, it would at least slow down.
Yeah. Is there any way you can kill that air conditioner?
Yeah. Hang on. I'll do it. I'll be back.
Although it is getting a little warm. Kind of. We're watching Cliff running over there. And things get quieter. Okay.
Uh-huh.
A lot better.
Okay. Anyway.
Of course, it's funny that during the pre-show and the audio check, nothing like this shows up until we go live. That's just the way it goes sometimes. No, the only reason why I disagree with Cliff about reading the names is because of the importance. And especially if something like the 9/11 attacks is something that we should never forget, because it's too easy to, especially 12 years later, some people didn't live through it. Some people did care and don't really realize the significance of this. I mean, I remember during the attacks that, we had the TV on. I think we were watching The Price is Right or something like that. And, of course, it got interrupted, and I'm just kind of like in awe of what's going on. Threw a tape in the VCR and recording this, and I was telling my roommate that, we're under attack. Like, yeah, right, sure. And the embarrassing thing was that during the time, of course, that it was broadcast on all the major TV stations. This is how pathetic we are. Is there were hundreds of calls to television stations complaining that their shows were being preempted. I mean, that is just, I mean, we are so isolated from the reality of the world.
Okay, now I have to disagree with you, because if they were calling to complain about their shows being preempted, they were doing that later. The actual attack, because I was on the air when that happened, that was early in the morning. My newsman came in and told me that we were being attacked and that one of the towers had an airplane flown into it. And I said, I don't believe that. Go back and make sure you double check on it. It was kind of dumb of me, because I know this man. I've known him forever, and I knew good and well that he was being legitimate, but, it's possible. But he came back, and it was truly and indeed for real. And this was early in the morning that it took place, because I was on the air in the morning show at the radio station that I was at. And but the thing is, I understand people got upset because they kept running this thing over and over. I mean, the stations kept going with it on all day long, and actually into the second day they went with it. It was important. It was extremely important, but, I don't know. I think there is a limit to everything that you need to do. But, of course, I understand you can't say, well, I'm going to go run, such and such a show, and I'll let the other stations do it and you cover it, because then you lose the audience, and so you don't want to do that either. So.
Well, it's true, but again, it's just minimizing the situation. By the way, before we get too far into the program, even though we did kind of get a late start to comfort difficulties, there was a letter that I have in front of me that is a tribute to 9/11, and I kind of wanted to read that at the onset of the program. We got running a little bit late here. This letter was written by Jo Ray Perkins. She's running for Senate in the state of Oregon, and with her permission, I got her permission to read this. So she wrote this yesterday. When we all went to bed that night, all was fine in the world. Little did we know of the events to unfold, the events that would shake the very foundation of who we are as a nation. And on 9/11, those of us on the West Coast of the world, to the unbelievable scenes playing on the television, in utter disbelief, many found ourselves headed to a place of worship to pray for protection from what was going on. On 9/12, around the world was a different view. We were still in shock and disbelief, but we found ourselves reaching out to one another. Many returned to church for a time. Fast forward to 9/11/2013. Many reverted back to their normal lives, forgetting about the unforgivable 12 years ago. Many have waxed cold. Today, on the eve of the 12th anniversary, I ask you to consider it to have changed. I think of friends I've made in New York City 1 year ago, and I think about the lives that were changed in an instant. Will you join me and thousands of others today, 9/11/2013, on Patriots Day, to remember those who did not go into battle for freedom? Their lives were stolen from them. Will you join me in a nation, National Day of Prayer and Repentance, to chronicle 7/14 when my people come for themselves? The ones who are called by me and pray, seek me, and turn away from their evil practices. I myself will listen from heaven. I will pardon their sins, and I will restore them. And I thank you, Jill Ray, for that letter.
That's very nice. Very nice. Yeah. But I still say there is a point where, because we've had much, much, much more radical things happen than this, and then, you know, a world war or something of that sort, that we should remember forever. But this was not that. I mean, this was terrible, yes, and this is the thing is, I don't believe for a moment that this is the last time something like this is going to happen.
No, I don't either.
So,
but to think that what's really important, you know, besides the fact that how many lives were lost, is that we hear stuff going on all the time. We got things going on in Syria right now, possibly war coming up. And but this is something that actually hit our shores, which the last time that happened was Pearl Harbor, I believe.
Well, I suppose you could say that. The reason that it hit our shores and didn't get caught is because it started on our shores. I mean, this didn't come from overseas. This came from our country. These were our airplanes that did this, and we just went out to the airport and got on them, and they just went out to the airport and got on them and took over the operation of them. That's all.
Okay.
So, you know, it's a different thing entirely than somebody coming from outside the borders of the country to do something inside our country. So, I mean, how can you stop that? How can you possibly even find out about it? I mean, people want to do that. That's something they can do. And the thing is, it really didn't, to know that they hit the top of the building was one thing, and it didn't really hit and strike home until they hit the top of the second building,
right.
And that really meant something. But even then, until I found out about the other two airplanes that were doing things, it didn't really sink in. I mean, we've had, I don't know if you remember or not, but an airplane hit the top of the Empire State Building years before that.
Yeah.
And it was not considered a terrible, terrible thing. I mean, it was a terrible thing. But it was something I think almost everybody had forgotten about. But we're not forgetting this one.
No, and it's not the first time the World Trade Center has actually been attacked either.
Well, yeah, the first time they were going to just knock it down by knocking it bottom out from under it, but that didn't work. It was, I was going to say built too well, but I don't know if it was built too well. I don't, you know, after this whole thing took place, I mean, it was built too well for to let them knock the bottom out of it, but someone knew that when they knocked out the top, it really did it.
Exactly.
Of course, I don't know how you can build a building to withstand something like that. That's almost impossible to. And well, it is not impossible to do. You can do that, but my God, can you imagine how much the cost of buildings would go up if they're all?
Well, I mean, most buildings are designed, you know, to kind of withstand really harsh weather and now earthquakes. I don't recall seeing any blueprints about airliner proof.
Yeah, this one can withstand a DC-12, but not a 9, something else, you know, bigger. No, they don't do that yet. They made start, you know. I think the smartest move is just not to build that tall building. I just don't believe that it's necessary to build it. The building's that small. We can make New York spread out a little ways or something like that, or go to different cities and build buildings there, but we just don't need to have them quite that tall. I mean, in Los Angeles, for example, they don't build buildings that tall. San Francisco, they do, and I understand that because San Francisco is a small, small area. You only have a little bit of an area that you can put a city in, but even then, I don't know. I don't think buildings need to be that tall.
Yeah.
I'm not going up in them.
Anyways, folks, 646-721-9887. Whether we're talking about the 9/11 today on the show, or we get into a different topic, if you would have a memory you'd like to share or a tribute to offer, please give us a call, 646-721-9887, and we'll put you on, and you can share your thoughts with us.
We'd be more than happy to do that, yeah.
Absolutely.
Neat. Anyway, lots of things going on about that.
And on Patriots Day, a lot of things going on. We have, what's kind of interesting, we've got two events going on in, is it New York City or Washington, D.C.? I forget.
I don't know, what two events?
We have the 2 million biker, or the million biker.
Washington, D.C.
Yeah, Washington, D.C. And also, coincidentally, we have the Million Muslim March, which right now looks like, according to World News Daily, the Million Muslim March is not doing too well.
Yeah, it's got tens and tens and tens of people.
Yes.
In fact, at this particular point, of all the pictures that I've seen several pictures, and I never saw more than 50 or 60 people in any of the pictures. They're saying there could be a couple hundred people, but that's just dwarfed by the bikers, because they've got well over 1,000, and they say 2,000. I didn't see that, but well over 1,000 bikers that are involved in this thing.
In fact, the bikers were denied a permit because of the Million Muslim March, and the permit they were looking for so that they could ride through on a designated route, you know, through the stop signs, red lights, and other traffic control devices. Well, apparently they're doing that anyways, because a lot of people, it's like, hey, Frank, these guys are running red lights. You want to stop these guys? You go ahead.
Really.
But apparently, according to World News Daily, TV crews were sent on the scene, preparing to provide live coverage of the event in a webcast. However, they were unable to locate any of the marchers that were supposed to go to the National Mall on to the Supreme Court and the White House.
Well, I thought I saw a picture of at least 40 or 50 of them there. The rest of them didn't make it. The Muslims, the people that were being told to march or being asked to march or whatever, I just don't think they were too interested in doing so. Yeah, there's a point where you're being asked to do too much of this. And I think because they're Muslim, because you have a belief, people expect more out of you. And it's getting to be too much. They just expect way too much out of you, and people are getting tired of it, and so they're not going to bother. And that's exactly what happened. They didn't bother. They fizzled. The whole thing fizzled out rather drastically.
Well, considering that their choice to do this on 9/11.
Well, I understand the choice of doing it on 9/11. I mean, that's something you want to do. You want to pick a day of I don't want to say a holiday, but a day of remembrance to do something like that. But it's just these people, it doesn't make any difference whether they're Muslim or not. They're tired of it. That's all. Yeah. And the Muslims are being told to do this, to do that, to do something else. And they're just getting tired of the whole thing, I think. I would be well tired of it. I'm tired of just hearing about it.
In fact, it's kind of interesting, again, looking at the World News Daily website, and this was updated about an hour ago. You see one person standing up on a table giving a speech to one person, and the World News Daily reported that they counted about 25 people. However, on the same page, they're showing a video where they have a New York police officer's car. He's kind of buried in motorcycles at the moment, and it's kind of an interesting sight. It almost looks like, from an aerial view, it looks like a bunch of ants attacking their food. it's peaceful, of course, but still, though, when you look at the spirit, and this is what's really great is what's going on, is that different organizations like Overpass.org and the Million Motorcycle Ride is... More and more people are getting involved now. Like Cliff said earlier, people are getting tired. They've had enough.
Well, people really are. People, they want to do something about it. And I think, you say you hadn't heard the president's speech. The president gave a speech yesterday, and he's almost being laughed out of it. He made stupid mistake of determining he was going to do something and then deciding that he can't. First of all, we've got the President Putin who is joining in the whole thing. And of course, anytime Obama decides that he can get the Russian president involved, he'd like to try. And we've got I think President Putin, he's the smart one. He doesn't do much of anything. He just makes a statement and then just lets it go.
Right.
And then, of course, Obama has to go on television and make a big thing out of the whole thing. He was on all the channels, every single one of the main channels last night doing his little thing. And he didn't have anything to say. He really didn't have anything to say. He said, we're going to, we're pledged to do this and we're pledged to do that, but we're not going to do it. We're going to wait because of Russia's involvement. I mean, we're not going to put boots on the ground, of course. That's the one big thing. His big thing is keeping boots off the ground. Well, you can start a war and not start with boots on the ground.
Right.
But it's going to end up there if he keeps messing around and making his little remarks.
And if he actually goes ahead and follows through and attacks Syria, for example, and without the support that he's getting, and like you're saying, the Russian president said that in his report that it wasn't the Syria regime that did it. It was actually another group that went ahead and did it. And it's kind of interesting that the Russian president is the one that's more pushing for not going to war than our president.
Well, Syria admitted to doing the thing with the chemicals, but and they did that yesterday. But the point is, we're not here, and our president said that we're not here to be the defenders of the world or to be the policemen of the world and all that sort of thing. Yet he went on to say that we were going to.
That's right.
And so the thing is, he better be careful, because his level of put his foot where he can't back it up and get himself in big trouble. And then we're going to be in, you know, it could end up in a war with no trouble at all, not real simple. And we haven't got the backing of the rest of the UN yet. We're close to it, or possibly. So there's a lot of things you better consider before he steps too far and jumps in there. Because, you know, the Russian president and a couple of others have let it be known that they're in the game. Yeah. And if he wants to, he doesn't want to. I mean, if he goes and starts to pull something, Mr. Obama, that is, you'd be surprised. You know, you talk about the people interested in ousting him at the moment. That's going to multiply over and over and over again if he does some of the things that are really stupid that he hasn't said he's going to do them. He's just touched on it. And he could. I mean, he's just going to have to watch himself very carefully.
Well, like you said, Obama is he's embarrassing himself even more so than he's done before. And not just to us, but, you know, to the world. And
well, he's proving his stupidity, showing how stupid he is and how far off he really is. It's a possibility. I will have to admit that maybe he knows something that we don't know, but I don't think so at the rate he's talking and the rate he's going.
Well, the good news is that, like we said last week on the program, it's about a 400-1 against going to war that the congressmen and other representatives are receiving phone calls from the people. They don't want to do this. We don't want to be in another war, and especially for something that, we can go in the war anytime we want to, you know, it's just, you know, because he's just like the Britons say in Parliament. They go, okay, well, we go ahead and support this. What are we gaining?
Yeah. You know, the thing is, Obama turned it over to Congress. He doesn't normally do this. He really wanted to do this. And then when they approved and they said he could go and do it, he decided not to. And that doesn't make much sense either. He totally ignored the fact that they approved it and they accepted it and decided that they hadn't made their decision yet. He decided that. They didn't. So you can't believe what he has to say, because what he has to say, he makes up as he goes along.
Right. Well, and as Obama said originally, that he says that, you know, he doesn't need Congress's support to go ahead and launch an attack, which is true under the Constitution, that he does not, actually the War Powers Act, excuse me, he does not. But unfortunately, you know, especially in today's world, a lot can happen in 60 seconds, much less 60 days.
That's true, and the thing is, he's already made his impressions known. He what he's wants to do is already out there, I'm afraid, and you either have to do it or back off.
Right. But what I'd like to also point out, because it's a good segue into an audio that I have. This was an original put together by the Second City Network, which is a talent group, but Cliff hasn't heard this yet. It's kind of an interesting thing regarding Obama. And I'm waiting for the computer to do something.
Hi, I'm Steve.
I'm Irene.
I'm Lisa.
My name is Tom.
I'm a graphic designer.
College freshman.
Stay-at-home mom with a full-time job. Scholar on social policy and a barista.
And I'm just like you.
I'm an Obama supporter.
I support President Obama. But the president needs your help. Our president can't launch into another war without you. And remember, when we voted for him in 2008 and 2012, we promised to support him no matter what.
Together, we can do it.
That's why we here at the Americans for Whatever Barack Obama Wants, Did You Know He's Friends with Jay-Z, have launched a Kickstarter campaign to fund World War III.
And America is dead ass broke, so our goal is to raise $1.6 trillion on behalf of the U.S. government.
That's where you come in.
Even a small donation would make all the difference.
World War III is a very important, very progressive war that Obama tells me is very important. So it must be.
When I first saw the president speak in 2008 in a YouTube clip posted to my Facebook page, I knew he was going to be right all the time. So I support World War III and IV and any moon war the president may want to start.
I mean, there is no way that he or the cabal of corporate interests, spy agencies, and shadow bankers would tell him what to do would ever mislead us.
The $1.6 trillion that we raise will help create a war that truly puts the liberal in neoliberal. There will be millions of troops, thousands of organic grass-fed bombs, hybrid Prius tanks, rockets controlled by iPads, and drones that play the Lumineers while they attack.
World War III is not going to be like those other Republican wars fought on just 1% of the world. This war is going to be fought in 99% of the world.
It'll be everywhere. Russia, China, Africa, Cincinnati, your favorite brunch spot, the one with those kick-ass ranchero breakfast burritos.
Everywhere. World War III will also be the most social media-focused war ever. It'll be all over Twitter, Facebook, Vine, Pinterest, and whatever eventually replaces Pinterest. And I mean, just think of all the hilarious gifts we can make of cats reacting to their owners' homes being obliterated.
Lots of shock, but tons of aww.
And come on, guys, how good will Michelle's arms look in sleeveless army fatigue? We have a lot of great rewards for our donors. If you donate $10 to the World War III Project, you'll get a shout-out on social media.
Hashtag thank you.
A $25 donation will get you a piece of rubble from a war-torn Middle Eastern country kissed by Senator Lindsey Graham.
A $100 donation gets you a day pass to leave your local refugee camp.
You'll probably end up in a refugee camp, but it'll have free Wi-Fi. And a $10 million donation gets you your own senator for a year.
So please, help us reach our goal of $1.6 trillion so we can make World War III a reality. Why? Because Obama.
Because Obama.
What?
Okay, normally I wouldn't play the whole clip, but I felt it was worth it. And again, credit goes out to the Second City Network, and you can catch them on the link that I posted on our show page. Check them out on YouTube. But I thought it was very, very well done. And
okay. Because Obama.
Because Obama. And even though it's kind of a, they're kind of making a, you know, it's a parody or whatever, unfortunately, there are people out there that just blindly believe if Obama says, well, we need to go to war, we're going to go to war. How come? Well, because I said so.
Well, you know, I hate to say this, but I'm glad to say this in reality. That number of people blindly following Obama because he's the president is going down and down and down and down. This morning on the different networks on television, they mentioned the fact that his numbers were down like 12% just in the last couple of days. And it's going to continue going down as long as he continues to make stupid remarks like he has been. And he's not doing well. And it's kind of silly that he's even making a stand or doing whatever, anything. I mean, he isn't up for election again. He isn't up for doing anything again. And he's not making himself look better. He's making himself look worse. in the eyes of the American people, and that's just all there is to it. So it is sort of ridiculous that he's doing all this, and he's kind of, he must sit back and wonder what people are going to think of him when he's gone, and it's not going to be good. That's where he's going anyway.
Or get his own agenda, which is basically what he said he was going to do in 2008. He had his own vision of America. And one thing that our government has been known to do is the distraction. You know, this could be a distraction because we got the issue with Obamacare going. We have the amnesty thing going in the background. And, you know, which they hope that, you know, by giving 11 plus million people citizenship is going to be the answer to the Democrats. You know, and this could be one of those distractions, too.
Well, you can say that 11-plus million people is a distraction, but what are you going to do? I don't know of any other possible way to accomplish anything. You can't round up 11 million people and ship them back to Mexico.
No, and there's no guarantee that if you all of a sudden give 11 million people citizenship or amnesty, that you're going to be you automatically are going to be voting Democrat.
Okay, I don't believe that we're giving them just automatic citizenship. I think we're making it possible for them to achieve that, but it's still not just given to them. That's not what I heard.
No, it's not. But what I'm saying is that's what the Democrats are counting on, is that if they give them a path to citizenship or whatever, that they're going to get the votes from them. Well, there's no guarantee that they're going to do that. In fact, some of them, and I don't want to stay on immigration for that long, but some of them are saying, I don't want to come out of the shadows. That means I have to pay taxes.
Exactly. Exactly. A great many people are not going to do that. I mean, you know, of course, in some instances, if they're working just a regular job, they're not doing, how do I want to put this? There are lots of jobs where they can work and they pay the taxes. But they don't file for them. In other words, the company puts the money in the government, but no one goes after it, and so it just stays there. And I don't know what happens to your taxes if you're not ever. I assume that the government just absorbs them somewhere along the line and takes care of them. But I don't think that. That we would have that many people, I don't think much of anything would change. I mean, we would have to make it a possibility. But what we've got to, again, it doesn't make any difference what we do. We've got to enforce the laws that we have. That's the whole thing. If we would enforce the laws that we have, totally enforce the laws that we have, it would almost overnight end this whole thing.
Yeah. Pretty much, and the problems that it causes, like this one thing that I don't have in front of me, but it's one of those cases that somebody is brought over here at a very young age, and they went through law school and is trying to get a waiver so they can get, you know, listed on the bar or whatever, get their license or whatever the lawyer needs to do, and they can't do it because they're illegal. And so they're trying to... I can't get around that, but it's one of those situations that it wouldn't be a problem if we would have followed the law in the first place.
Really? And the thing is, you know, we've got a lot of people that are being educated in the United States that are not capable of following up and doing anything about it. And if they would just, I don't know, I would think if they would go back to their country and then try to enter into the United States legally, then they'd be able to use that education. But at this particular point, they're not capable of using the education because of the situation that they're in. And I understand that. How they can go around it, and that we weren't going to talk about this immigration thing forever, but
right. It's
about what we're doing.
Exactly. But again, 646-721-9887, if you have any memories you'd like to share. Where were you at on the attacks of 9/11? And again, if you are listening to the program on the archives, send us an email. We'll read it on the air next week.
There's a new webpage, by the way, if you're interested, that specializes in selling the Impeaching Obama books and bumper stickers. And for $5.95, you can choose between a bumper sticker that say honk for impeachment or lights on for impeachment or straightforward to impeach Obama. I thought it was kind of interesting. But there, you're right. There are more and more and more people are literally, whether it be funny or not funny, are getting into this idea of impeachment. Even though there's only a couple of years left to go, people are getting impatient, and people are wanting to do something about him now. And so it's liable to happen.
Well, they're trying to send a message that, you know, we've said many a time that generally what Washington doesn't affect our lives directly, or very seldom. I mean, it might cost us more at the end of the year, or a little bit on our taxes or whatever. But typically what Washington does doesn't really affect you and me, but what they're doing now does. And like I said, Obamacare, you know, it starts to go into effect this tax year coming up. And in 2016, when it goes in full effect, if you don't have qualifying health care, it's going to cost you a couple thousand dollars. And, you know, you're starting to affect 100% of Americans and directly. And this is when people start getting involved, and, you know, when you start, especially start getting into our pockets.
Then people get a little upset, and I don't blame them. You know, the members of Congress, the ones who went home during this last recess and went out, and of course, when Congress goes home, they go out and go hold meetings out to their in the area of their constituents. And according to what I'm reading, people are being upset, and when they're saying that it's upsetting to the general public that Obama is destroying America from within. It's just happening. It's just and because of that, that's why people are mentioning impeachment. They don't want, you know, they're afraid that he can destroy it faster than we can keep it going and make a mess out of things in enough time in the last 2 years to really screw things up. And I really think, and I'm sorry, I really think it's because he doesn't have any idea what he's doing. The man is stupid.
Right.
I know everybody keeps telling me no, and he's not stupid at all. I don't believe that. I believe he's stupid. I believe he gets up there and he really, you know, listen to what he says in any of his speeches. One time he'll say one thing, the next time he'll say something else. It's whatever happens to be convenient at the time he's speaking, and whatever happens to be the subject of the time of the event of his speaking. So he can, I think, screw the entire United States up fast enough that he can do it before he gets out of office.
Well, it's proving that, you know, how much power Washington, D.C. really has and how little power we don't have. You know, because, you know, we slept for too long. Like I said, we don't get involved. And I'm just as guilty as the next person. There's a lot of things I should have gotten involved too, but I didn't. And I've become more aware in the last couple of years of what's going on than I have before.
Well, I made a stupid statement that he couldn't do too much in the time he has to be there. I voted for him. And that will never happen again. But how do you know who is the one you should or who you shouldn't vote for? And the thing is, 4 years later, I did not vote for him, but there was not enough of me to do the job. Unfortunately, he hadn't made enough noise yet to make more people. I think if there was an election right now, he wouldn't get in there.
Right.
But now it's too late. He's already there.
Well, that's the problem with our system is that, if, you know, thanks to the internet, you can go back, you know, and see the videos and see the transcripts of what was said. And like back in 2008, and I'll use the healthcare example where Obama was telling Nancy Pelosi that her plan would require people to obtain health insurance or pay a penalty. And he said his doesn't do that. Well, his does that. He said that things that they were going to do in Congress before they'd be more transparent than any other time in U.S. history, that it would be posted for people to see. They're doing just the opposite. They're rushing things through, like Obamacare with over 2,000 pages. So he's actually, the thing where I'm going with all of that is, because of our system, you can say, like a used car salesman, you can say anything you want to say, you know, to get into office. Like if I was running for office right now, I would just say, when I get elected, me, I'm not going to do anything. So anything I said would be opposite, or anything that I do would be opposite of what I promised.
Well, I don't know if that would put you in office or not. I mean, that's pretty blasé. That might not make it. The thing is, though, you can say anything you want to, and it really doesn't make any difference. And that's been proven over and over and over again. I really feel that we should hold the person making the speeches responsible for what he says. But we don't do that. We just, it's a speech in politics. A politician can say anything. And we accept that. Why? We're going to stop it.
Well, that's what I'm saying, is that we don't get involved. We don't hold them accountable. We don't get them to hold them accountable, except for making phone calls, and even then it's up to...
Well, there is another system.
Okay.
And that's, we have a vote.
Yeah.
We don't have to vote for them.
No. Once every 2 years, you get an opportunity to vote for your representatives.
Well, and even, but more to the point, once every 4 years, we get to vote specifically for the man himself. And we've got to, once, well, see, again, it was just a matter of timing. He hadn't done enough to screw things up that we decided to do something about it. But now he has, and I believe if it was a vote to be made now, he'd lose. So consequently, that's what we need, is to impeach him. I mean, if that's possible, and it must be possible, and I think it's getting closer and closer to happening, to taking place.
Well, hopefully America is waking up.
Well, really, we've got 40,000 members is one of the largest grassroots movement in the nation. And in a few weeks, since it was launched in June, and they've got 40,000 members already in all 50 states. So it's happening pretty fast. I mean, that's not very much time to gather up a lot of people all over the world, all over the country, rather. They got to remember this is the United States is not the whole world. It's liable to happen fast enough now that something will indeed happen. Something will take place.
You must have turned the air conditioner back on.
No, I didn't. Don't know what I did.
Yeah, I'm looking at the White House .gov website right now on the front page, and they're showing the tribute on the lawn, and Michelle looks very bored.
Well, you know, I'm not going to say.
But you remember, I believe it was Michelle Obama too that said she was not proud of America until recently as well. So.
Yeah, I remember that very well, and it's very unfortunate that I do remember that, because she said it. I mean, it's something that I remember, so consequently, it's something that other people would remember, and it's really a scary thing. She said it before he was put into office, and that should have been a real wake-up call right there.
Yeah. And same thing with other people that, like the Supreme Court Justice, that says that we don't recommend our Constitution to other countries.
Well,
our Constitution ain't perfect, but they put a lot of thought in it, and
it doesn't necessarily work for other countries. There are other countries can they have enough? Believe me or not, believe it or not, they have people that are smart enough to come up with their own. And they should be allowed to do that. We shouldn't not only not mention it, we should just keep our mouths shut, because, you know, I don't think you'd say, I think, well, what I want to say, it looks like we're not proud of our Constitution if we don't open our mouths and say something about it. But I don't believe that's it. I just believe that we are just trying very hard not to impose our Constitution or our opinions on other people, which we should take it to look like that more than anything else.
Yeah. I was just looking at the transcripts of the speech since I didn't hear the speech, and it was kind of, well, I guess what's kind of different about it, that he actually kind of more or less kept to the topic instead of turning it into his own little political thing like he did on Martin Luther King's Day.
Yeah. The thing is, he had to do something. He had to more or less keep to the topic because other people were involved. It wasn't just him. All of a sudden, it was the Soviet Union and Iran and Iraq and North. But anyway, it was other people involved, and he had to be a little bit more attentive to what he was saying, I think. But even then, he said what he wanted to. He didn't follow any rule of thumb. He just, you can't believe what comes out of his mouth. Just anything that comes out of his mouth, because it's going to be to whatever promotes the subject at hand, and that's just all there is to it. If there's something particularly he wants, that's what the speech will be about, and he does a good job of making it sound like it backs up his point of view, but he has all kinds of ways. I don't know. He must have a hand in writing his own speeches, but maybe he just has a group of people that will do whatever he wants. I don't know. For a price, I'm sure there are a group of speechwriters that will follow his rule of thumb.
And speaking of following the rules, 646-721-9887, with 37 minutes remaining in the program, there's still time if you want to call in and give your thoughts to the topic or any other topic, or share your memories of 12 years ago. We'd more than likely like to have you call.
Okay, yes. You know, it's, we're talking somewhat about the Syrian situation and the fact that Syria is sitting there. And, you know, Syria has to be, you know, they're the ones in the middle of all this. They've got anti-aircraft missiles that are ready. They've got ships that are out at sea pointed at them. They're in the middle of all of this stuff that we're sitting there and. And I would be scared to death myself if I was Syria, because I've got President Obama acting like a little bantam hen, saying anything he wants to say and doing anything he wants to do. And he literally can. I mean, if he can go over there and he can bomb them and not have to declare war or anything. And at this particular point, perhaps Congress or perhaps even the generals and such, but he is the general in charge, and that's just all there is to it. So can they change their mind? Can they think for themselves? No, they can't. They've got to do what they're told. And unfortunately, we've got an idiot telling them what to do. And that, if I was Syria, I'd be scared to death, because this is my country, my life, that's being played with here. And, of course, it's been played on both sides. We've got the people throwing war with chemicals at us from one side and people talking like idiots on the other side.
Yeah. And here we are, stuck in the middle. No, right.
Yeah, really. And stuck in the middle with you.
Yeah.
Well, I would be very, very upset if I were over there. And the thing is, it's getting close enough to being a part of our world that people are getting upset about it. And I think people are, he'd either better slow down or he'd better speed up. He'd better either get up and do something about it and make it too late for us to make a difference, or better slow down and keep his hands to himself. and let until he changes off and change office. I don't know who's going to be next, but boy, again, it's.
Well, the one thing we can do is, we can elect good people. And the sad thing about the system is that there are a lot of good people out there, even locally. And I've met one or two myself. And I want to say the underdog or the sad thing about our system that unless you got the funds or can raise the funds to get in there, or you have to be the used car salesman to sell and say whatever, to convince people to get you in there. But the good people are the ones that usually can't get in because they don't have the resources.
Well, I don't know that there are the only good ones are the ones without the resources. I think there are some people who have the money and who have the resources who have a good idea. But it's, what kind of pressure is put on people once they get into office, once they get into that office and see what's happening? It'd be interesting to note what kind of the thing that I get back to and that it scares me to death is for every senator, for example, there are like 300 or 400 people that work for him. These people are not elected people. They aren't changed except under the if the guy that was just elected opts to change them, and he doesn't have any reason to. But meanwhile, these hundreds of people stay there, and they may have the wrong idea. They may do the wrong things, and I'm scared of them. I don't know what to think of them. They should perhaps be more elected. If we get a congressman into office,
right,
then what is he doing? Is he following these 300 people that are working for him? Is he following their ideas, their impressions? Or does he have enough smarts and does he have enough intestinal fortitude to follow his own ideas or her own ideas? It's really hard to tell. And that scares me. I don't like the silent majority that goes on, this silent group of people who literally have huge amounts of power, and we don't know who they are even.
Well, and what I don't like is that how much money is being thrown in by private groups. I mean, the individuals are not supposed to be making a profit off this, but there's thousands of, if not millions of dollars that are thrown in by private company or private groups to try and convince the Congress or whatever, to just try and influence something in their own way.
Actually, I'm less worried about that because that isn't private. The people may be private, but what they're doing and their ideas can't be totally private. That has to be made available to people who want to look for it. And that changes by the group of people, by the company, and we know what companies think one way and what companies think another way, and we know that. But the people that are in there, that are in that office, in that just working for these people in the Senate and the House, that they're just working for them. We don't know how they think. We don't know what they think. And we have no way of finding out that I know of. And that scares me.
Well, that's true. Very true.
I think we should have some way of either. It's so funny because you can ask them any questions if you want to, but you don't know what they're thinking. You don't know what they're going to answer. You don't know if what they're answering is legitimately what they're thinking or if it's just what they think we want to hear. So you have to be careful there, too. So you have to find a different way of finding out what they're thinking and what they do and how they vote for things and, or how they sway the people who vote for things. Let's put it that way.
Exactly, and that's why I refer to them as a used car salesman, because they'll tell you at the time that anything you want to hear, they know how to fill the audience out.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, we've got to make some changes. We're still putting some of these people back in there. The couple of people from the state of Washington and the state of Oregon that I know of that we keep putting back into office. We need to change them just to change them, because we don't know what they're thinking anymore. You don't know how to believe what they're saying.
Exactly. And I'd like to hear what you have to say right now at 646-721-9887. We have 30 minutes remaining in the program, and you can listen to us talk, or you can kind of join in and share your thoughts too. So we'd like you to do that. 646-721-9887. And again, if you are one of the literally thousands of people who are listening to us on the archives, again, too, you are invited to send us an email, talk@krbnradio.com. Also, by the way, I've been finally getting off my tail end and updating our Facebook page, krbnradio.com, or krbnradio on Facebook. And so check that out, and I've been doing some commentary on that. So let us know. Send us a note on Facebook. In fact, like us on Facebook. And especially if you want to see more commentaries or do some more interaction in that way. So,
I haven't ever read the Facebook page.
You haven't what?
I haven't read it either.
Well, on you.
I don't look at this. Don't we have a Twitter page or Twitter something or other?
Yes, we have a Twitter page as well.
I never go to Twitter. How do you find anything on Twitter?
I don't know. The 140 characters, I never really got into Twitter. In fact, until recently, I haven't really got into Facebook, and I'm not going to play the games on Facebook. I'm sorry, I don't have the time. And but, you know, as far as staying in touch with people, about the only reason why I use it, and, of course, started updating. I do have a blog that I maintain. It's starting to get traffic back up. And so, let's see. We have a page on Facebook for the radio program here, so give that a try and see if that helps get some more interaction from people, because it's all about you, and that's really one of the reasons why we're here, other than just to hear us talk, but mainly it's because of you, and that's why we come back every week and we spend the time and money to do this. So
yeah, it'd be fortunate, it'd be interesting to hear from you. 646-721-9887, 646-721-9887. You still got some time to give us a call and share your thoughts.
That's right. So we challenge you to call us. Beth promises he won't bite much.
I'll bite. I bite. I really do.
You'll bite.
Yeah. Are you ready for this? We got a new iPhone out.
Really?
Yeah, new iPhones.
Oh my God, another iPhone? I don't need another phone, but I really should go get another phone because it's an iPhone. And I even though my iPhone works really good, I really need another iPhone because I have to have the latest iPhone because I don't know what features that I need.
Yes, dear. Calm yourself. I didn't realize the iPhone has a pretty good size, a pretty good resolution there. Their display is 1136 by 640 by 360 pixels. And that's pretty good for an iPhone. It's only like a 4-inch display. And so that would be a pretty good picture.
Well, I think that even my Galaxy 2 smartphone, which spends most of its time being a TV set, it's got about a 4.25-inch monitor or something like that. Talking about phones with a monitor. But the resolution for these small devices is just totally amazing.
Yeah, see, my problem is I can't see. And so I can't watch little things like that. I have to have a big one. My iPhone is 60 inches. So,
yeah.
And even then I have trouble seeing it from across the room. But
it's interesting, speaking of phones, and like the Jay guy's just kind of making fun of on the iPhone, because I know somebody's got the iPhone, I think it's a 4S or something like that. And just because of the new iPhone coming out, I was like, I got to have it. Why? Because it's an iPhone and it's new. Yeah, but you only use yours as a phone and for chatting anyways. You don't even use the features. I know, but I got to have it.
that seems to be the case. That's in a lot of instances, that drives a lot of their sales, I'm sure, just because I got to have it. It's brand new. I've got to have it. I don't know how often they come out with a new one, but it's been a couple of years, I guess, since they've come out with a new one. And so this is a must-have you sense of thing.
That's right. Like the Galaxy 4. It's like, oh, I should go get the Galaxy 4. It's a little bit bigger than the phone I've got, which is already too big to take around with me anyways, and it would be the new replacement television set for home because it's too big to carry.
Really? I you know...
And it doesn't work with Bluetooth.
I don't understand you people who insist you can't watch television on television. I personally make it attempt to sit down for a certain amount of time and watch television. I don't watch that much. Well, I do. I watch it a lot because I have nothing better to do. I watch certain things and a lot of things I don't watch. I sit down and as much as anything, I'm on the computer because I have computers that I sit down at the desk and work. And then I also have computers that I sit down and work with on my lap. So I'm working with computers doing various and sundry different things one way or another almost three quarters of the day. And then whether that's contacting and communicating with other people on the computer or whether it's just – I don't – well, I do too. I was going to say I don't play games. I do play games on the computer. I do play one particular game that I play over and over again, which is – just about as stupid as I can get. But anyway, most of the times I'm talking to people or researching things or looking at different things. And I do a lot of research on the computer. And because I don't believe any specific thing. If I'm looking something up on the computer, I don't just go to one page and take their word for it. I look up at least four or five pages and composite them down and decide what I want to believe and what I don't want to believe. And if they all say exactly the same thing, then obviously they must be wrong or else somebody has pretty well convinced them that they must be right, rather, or somebody else mm-hmm. has pretty much convinced them that's the way, you know, that green is pink.
That's also an excellent point, too. And really look at your source. The New York Times blog did an article recently about the G20 summit where Obama was quoted to saying to Putin that he was a jackass. And when I saw that, because it was really written very well and it looked like a news story, and when I was looking at that, I'm going, now, come on, even Obama wouldn't be stupid enough to tell another world leader that he's a jackass. And doing some research, especially not just checking, well, first of all, you know, I went and checked the major news networks, and then I checked overseas because of, I wanted to verify everything. I couldn't verify it, and it turned out it was just a joke that this blogger or whatever on the New York Times did. And the thing is, where I'm going with all this is that there was other websites, the non-major news, that picked it up and spun it as real news.
Yeah. Yeah, that's scary. That's real scary because some of them don't bother to check their sources either. Like you say, if it comes from the New York Times, it's got to be true, and it may not be.
Exactly.
I have a tendency. See, that's another thing I do. I do watch television more often than I'm thinking because I watch the news a lot, and I watch the different news sources. And I've noticed Al Jazeera now has its own channel on television. It hasn't gotten to me yet, but it's there. And that I would like to be able to see that because that, I think, might be interesting. But at this particular point on my television people, it costs money. So, and I don't pay money for television. So I don't watch a lot of it. But I get CNN and Fox on a regular basis, and I switch back and forth because they are different. They do different things. They say different things. They cover different stories. The main stories that are the same, but they are quite a bit different. And I do watch them back and forth between the two of them and again, make my own opinion as to which one I believe and which one I don't believe. And that's the way I do it. It's interesting because there's so many, you know, in our world, we're bombarded with so many different sources of news that you have to make some sort of attempt at narrowing it down and deciding what you're going to believe and what you're not going to believe.
Yeah, exactly. And just like the getting back to our earlier comments about the Million Muslim March, this one here is, well, this is from The Blaze, so you can consider that. But they're saying that it was met with counter-protesters who were shouting Allah is a lie, and which means that the counter-protesters must at least have found one or two of the people walking in the Million Muslim March to protest. In fact, I wouldn't be a bit surprised if the protesters outnumbered the Million Muslim marchers.
Yeah, which one had the most people? And that'd be, and also they aren't marching now. They're stopping at different places at parks and things and making speeches, I assume. I imagine if you think about it, the Million Muslim March. They're a long ways from having a million, but they may have a couple thousand people in various sundry groups, groups of maybe 20 or 30 around, and they're different ones are making different because this is a nationwide thing. This is not just a thing that's happening in Washington, D.C., although that's what they wanted it to do. They wanted to all march to Washington, D.C. and all of them. But Washington is getting a little upset and being a little more careful who they allow on their lawn making speeches, I think.
Yeah.
They wouldn't let the motorcyclists, they're getting upset at them too. And the motorcyclists, you know, they do have, not a million, but they've got probably a couple of thousand at least, or a couple hundred thousand at least, that are, because that you can see that by, there's some aircraft pictures or some pictures from up above that it becomes either they got a good job of pictures of playing with the pictures then or they're actually real, but I think they're real, and you can tell they've got a lot of people on those motorcycles.
Oh yeah, in fact, you know, I wouldn't be a bit surprised if Obama and staff are standing at the windows right now, and Obama's turning over to looking at Michelle and going, those peasants are revolting.
Really? Really. And now the thing that worries me and I wonder is, do they have anybody to speak for them? Are they just, you know, when a group like this, okay, when the Million Muslim March speaks or marches, I know that they've got speakers who speak for what they want to say, what they, the point they want to put across. But do the motorcyclists do that? Do they actually have someone to speak for them, or are they just whole bunches of people getting together and riding down the road? I don't know. But either way, they're getting their point across.
Yeah, exactly. Well, that, like I was saying on the onset, is the fact that people are getting together, even if they don't stop and talk to anybody, the fact that you have this number of people that are willing to ride across the country just to make a point. Yeah, I mean, just imagine how much organization it might have taken. I mean, like, for example, I'm on their website right now, which is Facebook, 2 Million Bikers DC. It's the number 2 Million Bikers DC. They have over 224,000 likes and 72,000 people talking about this. That's quite a number when you really get right down to it.
Well, that's a huge number, just even on the internet. And that would be the place that I, as far as I'm concerned, I think that's where the people, they need to come together with a website or so to make all of this more, give it all more impact.
Right.
And if you could do it all on one website to make it, it means something to people. But it's just, you know, when you've got people, if you've got a million people riding motorcycles down the street, you're talking about miles and miles and miles of people. And the people at one end of the race, or not race, but march or website, may be saying something different than people at the other end. So we need to go to some place like a website where you can put it all together. And you can see with a website, you could actually, if you've got a specific message, put the message on there and have the people who believe in that part of the message sign up for that. And you could have several messages. It doesn't have to be all just one thing. And they could each sign up for different parts of it and get the point across that way. Whereas just writing down the street, it's hard to put it together. I mean, we know they're upset. We know their main idea is the same. But, you know, at this particular point, what is their main point? Maybe it's the million march or the million ride to impeach Obama. That would be one thing. But we could have that on the website and have people sign up for different things. That you can do so much more with a website, I think.
Well, I mean, when you look at the, whether it's silverpath.org or the 2 million bikers to D.C., when you look at somebody came up with an idea and said, hey, let's do this, and then to be able to put it out there and to get, you know, over 250,000 people to notice this, and then to organize an event like this. I mean, when you think about, I'd like to know what the timeline is, how long it took them to do this, but for something like that to catch on, really has to say something.
I would have to say, depending on the situation, 2 million bikers to see DC would actually, I think, catch along a lot faster than most other things, because it wouldn't take much to convince the bikers to go. And I think it would, you know, just to say 2 million people march to DC, it would be harder to get 2 million people just marching for that point than it would be to get the bikers. The bikers want something to do. And
I'm going to disagree with you. I think bikers, a lot of them, and they're not all Hell's Angels type of thing, you know.
Oh, I know.
But the bikers, more or less, it's like truck drivers in a way. They're a community in themselves. Most of them are, well, I'm not going to say most of them, but you know, a lot of them are I don't know how to put this in words.
Well, see, I agree with you. They're a community in themselves. That's why I think it would be easier to motivate than with just 2 million people.
Right. I mean, even like locally here, there was a motorcycle police officer that was killed in the line of duty about 2 years ago. And annually, we have a bike motorcycle rally, and it goes across the state. And the whole point of it is to raise money for the officer's children to go to college. And it's already up into over 100,000 people that participate in it. So, but again, you know, how did it come about? Well, somebody came up with an idea, put it on Facebook, and people rallied behind it.
And that's because, see, I believe that the motorcyclists are just looking for something to do. If you're just talking about the general populace, just a general population, and ask them to do something like this, they aren't looking for something to do. But the motorcyclists in this particular case are looking for something to do as a group. There are two groups, I believe, of motorcyclists. There are the people who are, oh God, I don't want to say legitimate, but that's the only thing I can think of to say. And then there are the people who are hooligans.
Well, I think looking at, because I'm watching a video right now of just on some of the traffic. And everybody's riding the big bikes, and you don't want to come along on your little scooter. I support this.
Yeah, really. Just even trying to keep up with them is one thing. But yeah, and the thing is, they're organized, but they're not organized. In other words, they're driving along and side by side, two abreast, down the street. That's easy to organize. That's not something too difficult. But just it's a much easier group to organize than regular Americans would be, I think. And that's not bad. I'm not saying it's bad, but that's good. And but you can get. I wonder how many bikers there are in the United States. That's 2 million. That's an awful lot. There, how many people riding motorcycles in the United States?
I don't know. The point is that you got quite a group coming out, and people getting together. The government hates that.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm following through our Flycatcher, who's in our chat room, by the way. And you two can join us, by the way, in 10 minutes remaining at blogtalkradio.com/TRBN. It is brought to my attention about two Democratic senators that are facing recall. And according to Reuters, about 7 hours ago, it says that the voters ousted the Democrats state senators over gun control. Like, nice try, guys.
Over gun control. I don't know if they like it or don't like it.
Now I'm trying to pull up the article, but again, the computer is running slow.
Yeah.
I guess I didn't put the quarter in.
Really?
But anyways, yeah, or the Reuters is saying that the first in Colorado history at the epic center of the national fight over gun control in the aftermath of a series of mass shootings last year. So, well, sorry, guys. You're not going to take away our guns.
Well, you know, I happen to disagree. I mean, the United States has more guns than all the rest of the world combined, and it's only got us in trouble over and over and over and over again.
How do you figure?
What do you mean, how do I figure?
How do you think it's gotten us in trouble?
Well, we've got people being killed constantly by gunfire. And the other countries don't have that problem.
What? We got people being constantly killed by cars.
Well, that's
and most of them require licenses.
I agree. But so does everyone. There's a difference there between cars and guns as far as people being killed is concerned. I mean, I don't know how you – I do know how you stop cars, but people would just go ape shit over that. People wouldn't put up with it, you know. Well, what would you do if people said you couldn't drive? You have to drive. You have to drive.
Yeah, well, and hopefully I will always be able to drive. Even after I'm dead, I'm going to keep driving.
Really?
It'll look weird. Yeah, it'll look weird on these streets. You know, I have this really cool coffin. Me, get out of the way! But,
this million Muslim march that has turned into a million biker march. They've got a different. I saw another picture of it here where they've got them all together. And they're not all together in one place, but pretty close to it, but there's a huge, 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 huge number of them there in Washington, D.C. there. Well, anyway, so much for that.
Yeah, 6 minutes remaining in the program, 646-721-9887. And if there's something that you'd like to talk about, it doesn't have to be the 9/11 or what we're talking about. It could be anything you want to. Again, if you're one of the 3,000 weekly listeners to our program, if there's something on your mind, I'd always send us a note, and we'll read it on the air.
Well, it's interesting, you know, look at the Constitution. Okay, so we, the American people, stand by our Constitution. Now, do we stand by it as written, or do we stand by it as interpreted by someone in the administration or in the Congress or whatever? I mean, can we interpret it ourselves as just human beings, just as people? And can we stand by it that way? Or what do we do? Where do we stand with the Constitution of the United States? I mean, we can say we stand by it, But
well,
how?
The Constitution is just like any law. It's only as good as the people that enforce it. And like I said, this administration, and the question I've always asked is, what happens if you have a rogue president? Well, unfortunately, this administration is proving that, you know, not only do we have a rogue president, but we also have our checks and balances that isn't working either.
Well, I don't know if I want to accept the idea that we have a rogue president. I just think we have an idiot president. That's all. A man that doesn't have enough intelligence to know that he's a rogue.
Well, like I said, is that I wouldn't call him stupid. He's getting everything he wants, and like he said in the 2008, you know, he has a vision for America, and his vision for America, unfortunately, isn't our vision for America.
Yeah, and I don't. Yeah, as much as I agree with you to a certain extent, but I don't believe what he's fighting for and the information that he's putting out is his. I don't believe he said what he's saying. Somebody wrote it down and gave it to him to say. Somebody has filled him full of a line of crap that he is just repeating over and over again and not doing a very good job of it, that because each time he does a speech, he says it differently.
Well, yeah, he doesn't remember it either, like the deal about telling Syria that, you know, we got the red line, don't cross the red line. Now he's going, what red line? I never said that. The world said that, and the Republicans said that. Those damn Republicans.
Well, he simply is aware that he said it, and he didn't mean it. I mean, he literally didn't mean it. He didn't even know what he was saying. He just said something to be saying it, and that's what I'm saying, is an idiot for a president, a stupid person for a president. You know, because when you're president, you've got to think about what you're saying. You've got to pay attention to what you're saying. You can't just say an old thing that comes to mind and whatever comes out, because people are going to hold you to it, no matter what. Now, whether it's good, bad, or indifferent, whether it's a good thing that you said, or whether it's just stupid, they're still going to hold you to it, because you're speaking, every time you speak, you're speaking to 200 million people.
Right.
And they're each going to take a different.
Right, and every word you say is recorded, and that's why it can come back to bite you. And that's why, and that's one thing that this president has not done, is respected the White House. Like, not just Zimmerman, but others that he has commented on where he shouldn't have commented on, that affected the personal lives, in fact, it's ruined the lives of the people that he mentioned.
Yeah, and he doesn't care. I don't think he even, I see, that's why I say stupid, because I don't think he even is aware of it.
Well, I don't know. I really don't know, but he won't answer the questions.
I'm hoping to hell he isn't aware of it, because if he is aware of it, I think he should be taken out and shot.
Well, figuratively speaking, of course.
Not necessarily. Yes, but almost not.
Well, I don't want you to get arrested for threatening.
Really?
That is.
No, we won't take him out and shoot him. We'll just take him out and stick him in a hole someplace and keep him there.
That's right. Well, the views and opinion expressed by the coach necessarily.
Really? I don't know. But he doesn't know what he's saying. He isn't taking into consideration what he's saying, and he doesn't say it well. Well, and excuse me, that's wrong. He does say it well. That's why people are not realizing that he's saying stupid things. And we're out of time.
We are out of time. And again, thanks for listening. And on this 97 program, again, if you have any information that you'd like to share, any memories, you know, send us an email. We'll read them on next week's program. I'll post them. And again, we'll hope you will join us again next week, 1 p.m. Pacific time. And check us out on Facebook. Encourage us to keep doing updates on that.
Send your dollars, too. Bye.
Be sure to check us out on the Internet at www.krbnradio.com or email us with your show ideas at talk@krbnradio.com. This is KRBN Internet News Talk Radio.